Mindful of His Throne, the title of this lecture. It reveals something of vital importance which involves the future of the whole earth. In it, there is a sense of urgency and unveils a remarkable phenomenon. The place stands at the crossroads of Europe. It stands in the middle of Asia and Africa, surrounded by Lebanon and Syria to the north, by Jordan to the east, by the Red Sea and Egypt to the south, and its western border is the Mediterranean Sea. The total area is 10,840 square miles. In proportion to the British Isles, this country is half the size of Ireland, but though a small area, it contains coastal plains, mountain ranges, subtropical valleys, deserts, rivers and inland seas, and fertile farmlands with a rich variety of flora and fauna. This country, over time, has seen and suffered great persecution at the hands of many of their foes. The countries surrounding her have banded together with one aim: to destroy and annihilate her. Time and time again, but we see this country survive whatever is thrown at them. To the greater, more powerful nations, this country and its people remains a great thorn in the side, whether allies or foes, and it has been so for centuries. And yet, remarkably, it became a nation in 1948, against all the odds. Not a day goes by without a mention in the media of the country known as Israel. The world has been aware of its existence, even today. The author Mark Twain once commented, "What is the secret of the immortal Jew?" And we now have the opportunity today to answer that question, along with any others that may arise. Israel and the Arabs are the only nations of the world that can trace their roots to one single man. Only the destiny of the Jews in every detail follows a set plan and purpose, prophesied or foretold by God. The prophet Jeremiah, through him, God declared of the Jewish people. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11, it reads, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee." And that prediction has been right throughout the history of Israel. "Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee," and they remain scattered to this day, "yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and they have suffered for it. I will not leave thee altogether unpunished." That is a prediction through Jeremiah the prophet that remains fulfilled. Similarly, by the prophet Ezekiel, God declared, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen," or the nations of the world, "whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel." Remember, 1948, they became a state of Israel. That part has been fulfilled. But many remain scattered throughout the nations. But we have no doubt that the promise is they will be regathered from all ends of the earth to bring them into their own land. That is a future event. The Lord Jesus Christ also prophesied, "They," the Jews, "shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Part of that has been fulfilled. They've been a persecuted people for many centuries. Jerusalem, they cannot claim it as their own. Part of it is Arab control. Part of it is many of the religions that appear there. And obviously half of Jerusalem belong to the Jews. But there is going to come a time when the Gentiles will no longer rule over Jerusalem. The Jews will. Now, though prophesied, these are now facts of Israel history, partly fulfilled. But much more is yet to be accomplished, as I've itemized. So to go back to the comment made by Mark Twain, what is the secret of the immortal Jew? Why should the Jew retain his identity despite much affliction and persecution in the lands to which the Jews were scattered? How has Israel become a great nation or state of Israel? What is the reason for its survival? Of course, there are probably more questions that can be asked, but these will just suffice for today. So what is the answer? The Jew is still with us today because God's purpose in him is not complete. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Israel is an illustration of the truth of God's word. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west, and I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye, the Jews, are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that he may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared, and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Here is an illustration of God's word. In Israel, no other nation is referred to here. Here is that special relationship between the Creator and his chosen people, Israel. Now, before we look at a few examples of Bible prophecy fulfillment, read the Berean Christadelphians must emphasize something of essential importance about prophecy. Men and women can foretell the future, they say, but only as far as circumstances indicate. No man or woman can predict future events with absolute accurate and guaranteed fulfillment. Bible prophecy only emanates from God. If you look in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the scripture says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." In other words, it is not for man to know the future with any kind of accuracy. But as far as the scriptures are concerned, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God used the prophets of old to speak only his word. He revealed it to the peoples at that time through specially chosen men. It was his words in their mouths. It wasn't of their own will. Okay. Our first example is connected with Israel's progenitors. Just to show some historical background and to give insight to their present state and future greatness. Obviously, we need to start at the very beginning, and we need to turn back now to Genesis. The book of Genesis informs us, Genesis chapter 12. The book of Genesis informs us that the history of Israel begins with one man, and that was Abraham, who lived in a city known as the Ur of the Chaldees, that country we now know as Iraq. God commanded him and his family to leave his home and travel to another land, hence Israel. Abram's implicit faith and obedience in God led to the beginning of Israel's unique set of promises given to him by God. And here they put in full for us. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, as he was then known before his name was changed to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abraham belonged to a very rich family when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. He put all that aside in favor of God's promises. He left his country, his kindred, his father's house, and went to the land that God would show him. Verse 2, "I will make of thee a great nation." Was it fulfilled? Well, we know that history of Israel. In 1948, the state of Israel was born. Chapter 13 of Genesis, reiterating the promise made to Abraham. In verse 14, "The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Was this fulfilled? Well, of course. The land that he saw east, west, north, and south was the land of Canaan, Israel, The land of Canaan was promised to the Jews even before the nation existed. And Israel has occupied that land since the days of Joshua. Genesis chapter 15. Verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Verse 18. God made a covenant. A covenant that he would not break. He would not break his promises to Abram. The covenant is a binding contract. That is what God had with Abraham. And to thy seed will I give this land. That was the promise. Genesis 16, verse 1. Informs us that Abraham's wife Sarah was childless. Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. So how could this prophecy of Abraham's seed or descendants ever hope to inherit this great land? Sarah was childless. Normally, there would be children to hand it on. How was the prophecy fulfilled? The promise was that God promised a son which would be born to Sarah. May I remind you that Sarah was 90 years old, well past the age of childbearing. Abraham himself was 100 years old. Again, how could the prophecy be fulfilled? What God promises, he never breaks. Through Isaac, the son promised to Sarah, through Isaac, the child of promise, did the nation develop and grow. And this was predicted in chapter 13 of Genesis, verse 16, which said, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered, through Isaac. Genesis 15, verse 13. He said unto Abram, know of a surety. How can someone predict this kind of accurate prophecy? Man or woman cannot do that. Mankind cannot do that. But this is God making a promise. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. Was this fulfilled? Well, Israel's history proves it was. A famine forced Israel into Egypt. And in time, the old pharaohs died off, a new pharaoh came in, rule of Egypt, and forgot the kindness of Israel. Instead, they turned against them. And in time, the Jews became slaves of the Egyptians. But at the end of 400 years of slavery in Egypt, a savior came in the form of one who was raised in the house of Pharaoh, Moses. Moses means drawn out. It was the princess of Egypt that drew him out of the water. And it was Moses that became the leader, the prophet, that led the people out of Egypt to the land of promise. All this was done by God's providence. They survived the wilderness journey. He gave them a law to regulate their lives, both individually, socially, and nationally. And this law in itself has separated Israel from all other nations in this world. No other nation in the world has this law. It became known as the law of Moses, and it's only attributable to Israel. No other nation. So, Israel's identity is supported by the many concerns of the nations that have sought their destruction. But little do they realize the true reason for the identity. In Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, God said to Israel, "Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Look at the high honor given to Israel. No other nation is mentioned. Only Israel has this special relationship with God. They were to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But it was predicated on one thing. They were to keep his covenant. A covenant, as they say, was God's contract with these people. But a contract can be broken by the other party. This unique relationship to God gave rise to a marvelous prophecy. We go to our reading in Deuteronomy chapter 28. I asked our president to read the first 15 verses, and there's a reason. Because this particular chapter in Deuteronomy is actually split into two. You will notice that the first 14 verses are all to do with the blessings if they would uphold the covenant, their end of the contract. But verse 15 starts off in the second part of the chapter. If they did not uphold the covenant, then all these curses would pass upon them. For rebellion, for disobedience, and it's quite a long chapter. Was there a fulfillment of these things? Well, in verse 63, so we're not going to read all the rest there, it's quite a lot to cover. Verse 63, "It shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. and to bring you to naught. And he shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou wilt say, Would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spoke unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Israel's history and present day existence is the evidence of the fulfillment. God put into effect his promises to Abraham that he would make of him a great nation. It was necessary then to preserve his people Israel, and this God did. How? If God is with Israel, who could be ever against God? They would not succeed. That is why Israel today has survived so many attempts to annihilate them. That is why Israel today is a state of Israel, a nation. No matter what is thrown at Israel, Mark Twain was correct in his comment. What is the secret of the immortal Jew? He could never say that of any other nation. Where is the Babylonian Empire? Where is the Persian Empire? Where is the Median Empire? The Grecian Empire? The Roman Empire? Where is the Third Reich? All in the dust. But of Israel, it still survives. God promised, God did. Now, there's nothing can be more clear than going to the prophets. Let's go to Jeremiah 32. Verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries. Now that has not yet happened, so it's a future prophecy, yet to be fulfilled. I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Ezekiel 36. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, that is the nations, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Verse 28. And he shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and he shall be my people, and I will be your God. Ezekiel 37, verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Shows that it wasn't just the will of man. It was God that spoke through his mediator to the people. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Verse 14. And shall put my spirit in you, and he shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall he know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. Verse 21. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And there shall be no more two nations, neither shall it be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Now this we are seeing as a partial fulfillment. Yes, Israel is in the land. Yes, they are a nation. They are a state, as they were declared in 1948. But there are so many other Jews scattered throughout the nations. That part has not yet seen fulfillment. What was the part that was first fulfilled? Well, actually they were taken into captivity by the Babylonian Empire for 70 years. And when Persia took over Babylon, the new king allowed the Jews to return to their land. And why? To rebuild the temple and its walls. Then followed 500 years in which Israel faced successive invaders of the land. The land was always in control of foreigners. And after the Persians came the Greeks. And after the Greeks came the Romans. For 2,000 years the Jews suffered at the hands of others. But each time they regrouped and developed against all odds. What the prophets have declared have come to pass by God's care and love for his chosen race. The prophet Ezekiel saw in a vision the valley of dried bones, indicating that Israel was dead. And it is only by God's care for his people did they grow and live again. God foretold the nations regathering, spoken of by the three prophets that we went to. God foretold the nations regathering back to their land to become a mighty army. Both in the case of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the prophecies have been fulfilled. In Christ's day, Israel occupied the land, but under the Roman law, who oppressed them daily. Despite Christ's teaching and prophecies, Israel still disobeyed God. And as a final outrage, they crucified their only hope. They crucified Christ, their Messiah. What happened? The curses predicted in Deuteronomy 28, 15 to the end, was fulfilled and fell heavily upon them. They were persecuted. They suffered at the hands of their slave masters, almost to the point of annihilation. In AD 70, the city of Jerusalem was absolutely decimated. The Jews were sold as slaves and scattered throughout the Roman world. But you will note, they've never lost their identity. Yes, they integrated with the peoples and the nations they went into, but they still retained the name of Israel. The Jews have redeveloped and grown. the Jews, Israel has survived. Where is the might of Rome? Now, a modern fulfillment of this prophecy, as we've referred to, is found in the Nazi Holocaust under Hitler. If anybody have ever seen the newsreels of history, the atrocities that the Jews suffered at his hands sicken even the most hard-hearted of men, even in this day and age. Though Hitler and his henchmen destroyed approximately 6 million Jews in his concentration camps, who remains today is a mighty army. As a result of the Balfour Declaration in 1917, the Jewish people began to return to their homeland. Hitler merely ensured they did so. In 1947, the Declaration of the United Nations Organization supported an application of the Jewish people to become a state. The climax came on the 14th of May 1948, after a lapse of 2,500 years of persecution. Britain relinquished her control of Palestine and the State of Israel was declared. Details taken from immigration files for the first 3 years of the State of Israel show that 684,275 Jews from 56 different countries entered Israel, and many more have returned since. What God promised, He fulfilled. Can anyone honestly and sincerely deny these facts concerning Israel's destiny? The modern revival of Israel fits neatly into perspective and into God's plan and purpose. What is the miracle of Israel? Remember the vision of dry bones coming alive again? There are many prophecies to look at which are yet future and predominantly concern Israel. Ezekiel 37. Verse 22 says, I will make them one nation in the land. What land? The land of Canaan, upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall no more be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Psalm 72, verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his day shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. That prophecy has not been fulfilled, but it doesn't mean it won't be fulfilled. One king will rule over them. One king actually will rule over the whole world. What Jewish king has reigned since Zedekiah, the last king of Israel? was taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. What king has ruled over Israel? None. Look at Ezekiel 21. Verse 25. Speaking of Zedekiah, the last king of Israel, it was said by Ezekiel, "And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. The throne, the scepter, was taken away, and he was taken away into Babylon." But it goes on. "Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more." That was the end of the kings of Israel. But the prophecy goes on. "Until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him, the one king of God's choosing." That indicates the last days of the ancient kingdom of Israel. But there was to be a new nation, a new kingdom on the earth. Who is the king spoken of? But the Romans could tell you if they were any alive today. But history tells us the superscription above the man they crucified foretold the name of their future king. The promises to Abraham, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, constituting the gospel. Israel today, Israel tomorrow, they're all interlinked. In fact, the hope of Abraham is the hope of Israel. The hope of Israel is the hope of believers who have received the gospel of the kingdom of God and who have obeyed the command to be baptized, thus symbolically putting on Christ, and who have become connected with Abraham. We go to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." God has a purpose with Israel, with his people, which will be fulfilled in the day the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth a second time. The ultimate end involves the setting up of the kingdom of God on the earth, which is to be ruled by his chosen king, his obedient son, who will rule the world in righteousness and peace, as Psalm 72 indicates. Israel's former glory in the ancient days will be restored. No longer will Israel be the tail of all nations, but the head. Go to Deuteronomy 29. Verse 9. "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, with all the men of Israel. Your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water. that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which he passed by, and he has seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord of God, to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Who is he talking about? It's not just the nation of Israel, but those connected with Abraham. Who are the ones who are not there this day, but the believers of the future? The believers of the future. Those related to Abraham through Christ. Indeed, what a promise. No one could predict that. Only God. That surely will be fulfilled. Israel's former glory is yet to be re-established in the earth. No longer will Israel be the tail of the nations, but the head of the nations. We do not see that today. It has not yet been fulfilled. They are soon to become the first dominion in Christ's universal empire. Israel at the moment are still a trodden down people. But when Christ returns and establish the kingdom and be the king, the rightful heir to the throne of David, things are going to be changed. The world order totally changed. Indeed, it's a glorious future that awaits Israel and those connected with them. Trust in the word of God and listen to sound reason to ensure your part and place in the coming kingdom of God.